Hi, I'm Etienne and I made this lockpicking robot. So, firstly, a little bit about who I am. I'm a maker, I make a whole bunch of different stuff, love locks, love robots, so thought, you know, should kind of combine them. I'll have another QR code right at the end if you're interested, but yeah. So, lockpicking 101, I'm gonna take some audience questions here. If you want to break into this house, how do you do it? Yeah, big brick, right? Okay, next question. Lockpicking 101, how do you break in here? Yeah, you get a clipboard and like a polo shirt, right? So generally, lockpicking isn't actually used for kind of breaking in. It's used by like lock sports. So people, you might have seen the lockpicking tent over there. So people who are doing that kind of stuff, locksmiths, and occasionally, but very rarely, for like covert entry where you can't really throw a brick through a window. Lockpicking 102. There is a whole bunch of different types of locks. So yeah, you can see a whole bunch over here and you might recognize a few. Today, we are only going to be talking about pin tumbler locks. That's locks which the key looks a little bit like this. Also one little note about lockpicking, never pick a lock that isn't yours and that is in use. If it's in use, it can like break and jam and like just destroy the lock forever. And if it's not yours, shouldn't be picking it. A little bit about lockpicking. Who here, just raise of hands, has done lockpicking before? Yeah, okay. Most people, but not everyone. So very briefly, we've got a bunch of pins over here, and if you try turn this kind of silver part, this like gold part, it's not going to turn. It's, all those pins are going to jam against it, and it's going to just prevent it from turning, right? If you put the wrong key in, it's going to lift each of those pins up and down, but it's not going to align with what we call the shear line, which is this line right over here. But if you put the correct key in, then all those blue pins are going to be above that, and all the red pins are going to be below that, and that's going to enable you to actually turn the lock, right? So that's basically how like any standard pin tumbler lock works. If you're trying to do picking, what you generally try to do is you like put a bunch of tension on it and then you lift each pin one by one and you'll find one that really sticks. And that's because of manufacturing differences. One pin's going to be slightly bigger than the rest and that's going to just kind of jam up. Once you've got that, the next pin will be the thing that's actually blocking it from turning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Which means that generally, at once you only have one pin that's actually binding against it. Next little thing, master keys suck. They're kind of everywhere without you really realizing it. So these TSA locks, you might have seen this symbol on your suitcase. It is on your suitcase. They're really, really bad. They suck for a whole variety of reasons. Firstly, it's one key that unlocks tons of things. So if you take a picture of that, you can unlock often like hundreds of thousands of different things. Again, think of the like TSA lock on your suitcase. You can unlock basically everyone's suitcase if you've got a picture of that one key, right? Next thing is, if you've got the key, it looks like you own the lock, right? So you can just walk up to anyone's suitcase, or you can walk up, in this case, to an elevator and just unlock it. I'm not gonna say what brand of elevator, but that elevator has been retrofitted by basically the same one that does about like 60% of the London elevators, and they all have the exact same key. So it's not exactly safe, you know? Used in many places and very easy to Google. Which brings us on to the TSA lock. They really suck. Don't use them other than on luggage, and that's kind of because you have to. This particular key that you can get on Amazon for few quid, or you can just print one on Thingiverse, so, I mean, it's free, really, opens about 90%-ish of luggage, I walked around my university when I was doing this project and found that 20 to 25% of all the lockers had that, and I had the key in my pocket, and I could unlock 20% of the, like, lockers. That's not good. That should not be a possible thing, right? Another good example of kind of master keying systems is like the British Museum. Here, they've got all of these different lockers. This is the same kind of brand. I Googled who installed the systems. It's that company called Pure Lockers. The key costs £3.25. And yeah, you can again just get it after about 2 minutes of Googling. But really, When you like type your code in, you can't like and you forget it at the end of, you know, 8 hours of exploring. Realistically, the British Museum can't carry a key for every single locker, right? That's 1,000 different keys. It's not reasonable. So they use one, and it unlocks everything, because it's just way, way simpler. So next thing is, here we've got kind of the what good people need to be able to do, so locksmiths or law enforcement and clerks, and what thieves are kind of wanting to do. Thieves want, they will find a way in. Generally, it's an angle grinder, but they will find a way in. And often, let's take the TSA example, they're wanting it to be a little bit covert, right? Like they're trying to steal something from your luggage. The good people, like again, TSA, you don't want to have to teach them how to use really complicated equipment or anything like that. They want to open it non-destructively. They don't want to break any of your stuff. And again, they can't carry hundreds or thousands of any keys. Both of them want to open the bags. Both of them need to be in there quick. And both of them want to be able to access many different locks, right? So the one thing that really stands out here is the thieves want to be covert. So how do you make a lock very suspicious to open? Firstly, you make it take a while. Secondly, you require a very suspicious item. So if you were to try lockpick this, how do you do it? Anyone from the audience? Jiggle it. I'd personally just try all the combinations, because there's three wheels. You try each one. Each has got like 10 numbers. It's going to take like 1,000. There's 1,000 possible combos. If you take a second per like combo, it's going to take you about 16 minutes on, 16 minutes to go through all of them, and 8 minutes on average to get it. So yeah, you can just try all of them. So why can't we do that same technique with normal locks? Which brings me to this. This is my project. This is the lockpicking robot. If you have a look over here, this whole section is just a lock. Everything from this side onwards is the actual robot, right? The way it works is it's got this metal key, which I've got right here. And I'll try to get on the camera for you. It's got this metal key, which has a series of very, very tiny holes in it. These tiny holes let me pass a very thin wire through it. And those wires let me effectively lift those pins up to various different heights. That is the same as, it effectively lets us do the brute forcing technique that we tried for the combination lock. Could I get back to the slides? Cheers. One little caveat is because this is a key, it's got a bit of a weird key shape, which means that you have to make this part for every individual kind of type or class of lock. If you imagine if this key fits in here, it's not going to physically fit in here. But other than that, all other locks of this similar design, similar shape, it would be able to pick. Other thing is this is kind of a cut open view. This is based off the Sputnik patent from 1991, which has expired. But the idea behind that was that you had a series of wires that a person would physically push in to actuate those pins, right? So yeah, instead of a robot pushing it, you just have a human pushing it. Here's a few different videos of it working. If you have a look at the first one, you can see the pin is being slowly and like very, very gently lifted up. So once I like tested that and I made like a resin 3D print of the key to make sure everything was working, I decided to put some like servo motors on it. At the moment, I'm using very, very small Dynamixel servos, which means that they're very, very precise. They go to about, there's like 1,024 different clicks within a full rotation. So very precise and very, very fast moving. And the last video, you can see all the wires are moving very, very small amounts, and like you can see each of the servo motors one by one going in. So first question that a lot of people ask is, yeah, all right, but like how fast is it? It's all right. It does about 0.7 seconds per combination, which is a little bit faster than when we were doing like the manual one, right? We averaged about 1 second. So if we were to use those awful TSA locks, it would take on average about 9.5 seconds, or if you're doing all of them, roughly 19 seconds to break into it. If you're looking at a meh lock, so four different pins and like four different possible cut depths, You're looking at about 256 combinations, so that's about 3 minutes, or 1.5 on average. And a standard lock, like one that you might see on like a front door or something like that, will be roughly five different cut depths and five different like pins, right? Which means that it ends up being about 37 minutes. As you can see, this does not scale well. So if you've got a 7-pin lock or anything like that, it is going to take weeks to do. To make this, I prototyped a lot. You can see there's many, many, many different prototypes of every single component in this machine. It was about a 5, maybe 6 week long project. So ended up doing a lot of different prototypes, and unfortunately wasn't able to add in all of the features I'd really like. Next question that people often ask is, what other kind of locks is this kind of applicable to, right? Like, I've got a very weird key, how do I, would it be able to do that? Tubular locks and dimple locks, which you can see over there, have a very similar mechanism inside them as to how they actually actuate the pins, which means that theoretically you can make a weird key that could kind of also do the same for those two different ones. So, just to recap our conditions, the kind of good people, like let's say the TSA, they don't need to gain any new skills, they don't need to be able to like break the lock to get in, and they don't need to carry around thousands of keys. And the thieves, they're still going to find a way, to be honest, like they're going to get bolt cutters, but they can't be covert. Because, I mean, really, if you're walking around an airport and you're holding this there just suspiciously for 3 minutes trying to get in, it's a lot, lot more suspicious than literally owning the key to the bag that you're busy opening, right? And everyone's able to kind of open the bag, and it'll be relatively quick, and yeah, it'll be able to open many, many locks. So, what's next? This was, as I said, about a 5 week long project, which means that there's a lot of different things that I'd love to improve. And it's open source at the moment, so if anyone else wants to do some lock picking robot stuff, come talk to me very briefly after the show or scan my QR code at the end, and please get involved to improve this project. So, a few things that I want to add in. Firstly, at the moment, the only kind of tensioning that it has is the entire device being slightly off balance, which means that once the lock is fully open, it kind of clicks over, and then it's finished, right? Issue with that is the lock doesn't even know that it's, the machine doesn't know that it's finished picking, so it just kind of keeps going, and it kind of breaks itself in the process because it's like pushing through the actual plastic, like the wire is pushing through the actual plastic, which isn't great. So I included a spot right at the top to get a motor there to try do that. The next is current feedback. These motors have the ability to see how much force they're applying to each of the different pins, which is really, really cool. But I'd love to effectively get it to try a few normal techniques first. For example, pushing all of the pins really, really high in a technique called combing, if you know a little bit about lockpicking. Or just trying individual pin picking to see which one's binding more and then focusing on that until it eventually gets through. And if none of those techniques work, then eventually going for the brute force technique. So it will get in, but it will generally go a lot faster, right? The next is, because there's sensors in there, you'll be able to use it for a whole bunch of different things. So you can use it for lock picking manufacturers, for them to do research on different techniques and doing QA. So they can be this pin is slightly bigger than all the others because it's binding first, therefore we should probably fix that in this line of locks. I'd also love to make, as I said, these keys only fit in one type of lock. So either a technique that lets you fit a key in kind of all different types of lock, or many, many more key blanks. These are pretty easy to model, but you just have to get them ideally metal 3D printed, which can be a little bit tough. If not, you can do resin 3D printed as well. The last one is, if you, again, know a little bit about lock picking, there's a thing called a false set, where you try lift up a pin and you go, sweet, it clicked through properly. But sneakily, it didn't. It gets into kind of a groove in the pin. So it starts to turn, but it's not fully, fully up. And I'd love to see if you can get some sort of ML model to aggregate that data and see like what the actual feeling is through the like current feedback for that. So, few really frequently asked questions. Are digital locks more secure? Yes and no. Yes, because they can have so many more combinations, right? But we are doing roughly a second to try each combo. Digitally, if you're looking at like an RSA hash or something like that, you can like go through those really quick. And you can have that from a whole bunch of other kind of different things. But as with the real world, no one's really trying to break your hash by like doing every single combination. Realistically, people are doing like trying to find weird bypasses. So if you went to the like quantum encryption talk yesterday, you'll have some idea of that kind of thing. But really, they're going to go ask your bank, hey, can you reset my password, or do some stuff like that that's just kind of bypassing the system entirely. My lock is weird. Can it be picked? Yes. Again, a brick gets through all of the locks, right? Unless it's a really high security lock and then you need a proper angle grinder. Lock picking 103, tons of different types. What is the best lock? If you want to know, there's a QR code over there. There is a LockSport community which has kind of a ranking system on all the different types of locks. And it says, you know, this is a black belt to pick, this is a green belt to pick, and it tells you how good a different lock is. But it doesn't really matter too much. Again, brick. Last thing is that this is now open source, so please go contribute to it. There's the QR code over there to the GitHub. Please go develop it a little bit more and work on some cool add-ons to this. I'm only going to be here very briefly after the talk because I've got a train to catch. But if you'd like to talk to me, I love talking about robots and locks and my left hand and bread, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to talk to me, scan that QR code and message me on any of those different social medias. Thank you very much.